Grade 3 Conference, Lecture 63, Farming and Gardening, Part 1. Like the subjects of house building and fibers, farming and gardening is intimately connected with the theme of the Hebrew Scriptures of mankind's coming to the earth. And we might say it's the first of the practical skills mentioned, because no sooner are Adam and Eve sent out of the Garden of Eden than they are told that they will have to, by the sweat of their brow, work the earth. And we hear, of course, of Cain, who has that task as well. Though, as we see, the Hebrews are mentioned more often than not as shepherds, rather than as farmers. So the tilling of the earth has something of a secondary, lesser quality about it, and it perhaps takes us then further into the realm of the practical life, and we see a figure like Hiram, a descendant of Cain, who comes from the earth, who knows the things of the earth, whereas the Israelites are tending to go in yet another more visionary direction. So farming and gardening comes in grade 3. Steiner's intention was that it would continue through the uppermost grades. For a long time in the United States, as perhaps like the Israelites, farming and gardening was not looked upon as a terribly important or significant class. And schools would perhaps work the garden, if they even had one, in a fairly makeshift way. It would be a kind of pretend for the children, because they would work the earth, they would plant the seeds, they'd get everything ready. In April, May, they'd leave school in June, and when they came back in September, the garden was a mass of weeds. Perhaps one or another teacher might have looked in on it during the summer, but basically, it was just a sort of charade that the children did in third grade to learn what it meant to start a garden. But never did they experience the fullness of really maintaining the garden, going through with it all. Also, for a long time, it was only in third grade that the children had that class, and then it was forgotten. So things have changed significantly. You are undoubtedly in a school that, even if it's urban, has managed to create a little or a larger organic garden somewhere or other. Some schools, like the Shepherd Valley School in Colorado, or the Summerfield School and Farm in Santa Rosa, California, have made gardening, farming, an important central part of the entire school curriculum. And charter schools have been doing quite a bit in this as well, one of the most prominent being the Novato Waldorf School in Novato, California, which took the remains of fairly toxic earth from an Air Force base and managed to transform the soil, transform the landscape in remarkable ways. So we could say that, first of all, the world started to catch up with Steiner's vision that farming, gardening would be an important part of the Waldorf School world and the Waldorf School life. Remember, he was originally counting on factory children who certainly had what might be called today, you know, nature deficiency, that they were not able to leave the city very readily, although very likely they, like many city dwellers in Central Europe, probably had a family garden on the outskirts of the town or in some vacant land in Stuttgart in which they and their neighbors all had little plots. So it may be that they were not nearly as deficient in their connection to nature as many of our children are today, who, though perhaps surrounded in suburban streets by trees and grass, nonetheless stay indoors all day, playing their video games or watching Discovery Channel. So, yes, the world is caught up with the fact that children need to be exposed to nature and that gardening is a very good way of taking hold of that. There are more programs in botanical gardens and children's museums than there ever were for children to learn about gardening and to have some experience of it. And then, oddly enough, the Waldorf schools have caught up with Rudolf Steiner's vision as well by taking this subject more seriously. There are certainly many, many more gardening teachers, people specializing in that subject and working the garden year-round in Waldorf schools today than there were 5 or 10 years ago, to be sure. So this is very nice that the greening of America, at least in people's consciousness, has met the greening of Waldorf schools. And in fact, a certain degree of fame is being accorded Waldorf schools because they are beginning to be awarded sustainability certificates and green awards from one foundation or group or another for the work that Waldorf has been doing for years and years, but which is only being recognized right now. So this is an important block, a meaningful block, and I hope that your school is one of those that is taking this very seriously and apportioning the right amount of land for the work that needs to be done, that the children have the tools that they need, and that there's somebody working with them who can really give them a true education in all of the various skills and sensibilities that have to be developed to work on a farm. So that's one part of it. It brings the children into practical activity. And unlike a lot of what we do in the building block, of which I spoke already in an earlier lecture, there's so much in a garden that even the very youngest child can do. You know, it's possible for a 3 or 4 year old to plant seeds well. It's possible for 6 and 7 year olds to be taught how to weed or how to hoe the ground around the seedlings. So all kinds of simple skills can be apportioned out in a garden. Certainly children of every grade can do something and all really have a sense of responsibility for the garden. And then it's very nice if a school in the autumn perhaps has a kind of harvest festival where the children in third grade, fourth grade are cooking all that was brought out of the garden, learning how to make all kinds of dishes with it and eating themselves or perhaps with their parents in the classroom, or perhaps even staging something that would involve a few grades. So that too is really lovely if not only the growing of food, not only the harvesting, but also the way in which it needs to get processed is brought into this block, that the children learn about canning and freezing and drying. It's really quite open-ended, and it all flows very, very well with this basic sense of the age 9 child, you know, of coming to the earth, of feeling a sense of greater connection with earthly forces and really putting one's hand in the ground. So that's one aspect of the work, the very practical side of it. Now, usually, again, like with much of what we teach in grade 3, there'll be 2 farming and gardening blocks, one in the fall and one in the spring. the autumn block will be involving perhaps harvesting the garden, putting the garden to bed, going outside and learning about the various tools that are used, drawing some of those tools, perhaps sketching one's classmates as they work in the garden, and also that the teacher begins a narration telling the children about a farming family. And it might not be a 21st century farming family exactly. It can be pretty close to it. But a farm that is reasonably self-sustainable. So you want the children to hear about the way in which the animal, mineral, and vegetable worlds under the supervision, the ego involvement of the human being, the farmer and his or her family, how all of these work with one another and flow into one another. So there might be a little map or layout of what the farm looks like and why there are bushes over here and hedgerows over there, why this is a good place for trees, why this ground has to be left fallow, and so on. And the children should see the role that the animals, from the cows and sheep, to the chickens and the farmer's dog, all play in the life of the farm. The compost pile as a kind of central heart of the farm, flowing between waste and new life. So the farmer's day, the farmer's week, the farmer's month, the farmer's year, and this can flow together well with time-telling. You'll see in the slideshow how our class learned a little bit more about time rhythms and the clock and the sundial and even the egg timer as we followed the life of this farmer living through the cycles of nature. So it is a very, very rich subject, really full of resonance for the child. And also you'd want to bring in the kind of reverential nature of the farmer and his family, their gratitude for what nature gives them, their recognition that every year will be different, some years too cold, some too hot, some too wet, some too dry, but how they try to accommodate themselves, not only be sustainable, but also be resilient in the face of the vagaries and unpredictability of nature, and how this farmer is really, in one way or another, trying to transform the world and turn the soil into something that's really permeated by the human being. So this is not exactly a course in ecology, and the farmer is, in fact, at times, even organic farmers now and then, aren't always in harmony with environmentalists and ecologists who might want to leave one or another patch of land wild. This comes up more often than not in California, where a farmer may have worked land for 20 or 30 years and now learns it's actually supposed to be part of a park area and untouched. What happens there? Now, I don't say that this will necessarily come up, but just to recognize that farming is an insertion of the human being in the world. It's not just living in harmony with nature, it's also changing nature. It's sometimes accentuating one aspect of the natural world at the expense of the other. How do farmers do this? How do they work in this way? The second block that you'll probably do in the spring, once again, involves going out and gardening, especially if you're in a more northern climate and haven't been able to do much in the winter time. And this usually also involves a class trip, the famous farm trip that the third graders take. And Some of their work, or perhaps all of their work in their main lesson book, is a journal of that farm trip or a reflection on what they learned there. We'll talk more about this in the next lecture.